The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verses 4 to 5. It is page 209 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Amen. As for what Barnabas and Paul did after they left Antioch in order to have God's love and light flow into the world, today's text sheds light on them as follows. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Barnabas and Paul and their helper, John, got on a ship to Cyprus at Seleucia, the port of Roman Emperor, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Cyprus is a Mediterranean island that is about 200 kilometers away from Seleucia. Upon arriving at Salamis, an eastern port of Cyprus, they went around Jewish synagogues to proclaim the words of God. Not only in Cyprus, but thereafter they went to Jewish synagogues each place they went and to proclaim the words of God. They had made Jewish synagogues a base for the spreading of the gospel. But this was not their original idea. It was the very way of the Lord. The Lord who had come to this earth had visited local synagogues, spread the good news, and healed the sick. It was Jesus who had made Jewish synagogues the outposts of the gospel. The Jewish synagogues did not have their origin at the time of undisturbed peace. As we examined during the past hour, synagogues were established by Jewish people throughout the Mediterranean world during the time when the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed and numerous Jewish people were taken away as captives of Babylonia or were dispersed to alien lands. A time of tears, suffering, discouragement, and despair. It was for the Jewish people who had lost the Temple of Jerusalem to gather together and learn the laws of God and to pray to God. While the Jewish people who had lost their country were spending their days and nights in tears, in that very time, it was the time that God was fulfilling His will through them, even during such times, without an inch of error. God had used them as instruments to build Jewish synagogues that would soon be used as outposts of the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world. Therefore, the days of suffering and despair during which the Jewish people had to shed tears were actually the times more precious than gold in which they were used beautifully by God, unbeknownst to them. If this fact is understood, then people of faith will come to know that Jewish synagogues, referred to in today's text, is in fact a synonym for hope. A person, the Jewish synagogues that were established in midst of tears, were being mysteriously as the outposts for the gospel by God. Now, if God in such mysterious ways causes synagogues to be used this way, then why wouldn't God use our despair, no matter how bleak the circumstances may be. He concluded in hope in God. Wouldn't our reality, which appears hopeless, be the very stepping stones to the future of hope that God wants to give us? A person who believes in God must be a person of hope. It is because God, Jehovah, He is our hope. If our despair were to end only in despair, although we believe in God, then where in the world is the reason that we should believe in such God? In other words, no matter how bleak our circumstances may appear, if we truly, we are the people who truly believe in God, then regardless of what reality there may be, we cannot lose hope. Because God is not a God of despair, but God of hope, who in all things work together for the good. The Psalm 62, verse 5, is a song of David. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. Although David became king, it was not the case that he lived a peaceful life throughout. He lived a difficult life for a long time in midst of unceasing conspiracies, jealousy, and danger of assassination. But he did not try to rely on anything of this world or be comforted by any person. David only waited on God in quietness with the whole of his spirit. He knew that only God could be, is, the sole hope of a man's life. He knew and was convinced that all of hopeless situations that surrounded him were stepping stones to the future of hope that God was to give him. In today's, as seen in today's text, Paul, who had been chosen as the pathway of God through which love and life of God were to flow into the world, confessed as follows, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was also true of Paul's life, who had taken his first step to evangelism in today's text, that his life was not tranquil. Just because Paul had come to live a life of evangelist, that he began a life as a pathway through which God's love and life could flow, was not the case that he was welcomed everywhere he went. Rather, it was the opposite. That he became a Christian, a witness for Jesus Christ, meant that he had become a cowardly apostate of Jewish faith from the perspective of adherents of Judaism. Accordingly, no matter where he went for his whole life, he had to endure the persecution and threat of death from Judaic followers. But the reason that he did not bow to these things was, for him too, God had become his hope. He knew and firmly believed that God's will was being fulfilled through him, even in situations that were like pitch black darkness. Therefore, to him, to deliver the gospel.
하나님의 사랑과 생명을 다른 사람들에게 전한다는 것
meant making others to overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit.
소망을 충만하게 해 주는 것이었습니다.
And so for Paul, the gospel was also the gospel of hope. The wage of sin is death. Therefore, no person, not any king, queen, general, or minister, can escape the cemetery. But that, even so, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to this world in order to save men who are stained sinners from sin and death. Isn't this in itself hope? Isn't it hope that the Lord, who had died on the cross as atonement for our sins, rose to live again eternally, breaking death apart on the third day? As a result, isn't it hope that in Jesus Christ, our death has been transformed to the gateway to eternal life? Isn't it hope that in the Lord, hope that the Lord is present in spirit at all times and everywhere and is with us? Isn't it hope that no matter what situation is handed to us today, all work together for good in Jesus Christ? Isn't it hope that although my life today may be difficult, that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us? Isn't it hope that although we may be unworthy and our life may not appear to amount to anything and therefore worthless, the will of God, the creator of this universe, is mysteriously being fulfilled through our days? God of Trinity is our hope. The gospel is the good news of hope. The cross of Jesus Christ is the cross born for hope. Salvation is the salvation towards hope. Christians who believe in the God of people are the people of hope. To Christians, hope is a driving life force and life impulse that make it possible for us to live as true Christians. But there is one fact that we should never be confused about hope. To live as a person of hope never means locking oneself into one's hopes and thereby neglecting or ignoring the reality one is facing. There is a term known as Stockdale Paradox. It is a term that has been coined after the legendary general of the Vietnam War, General Stockdale. And it refers to the dualism of stoically accepting a brutal reality, but also not abandoning the faith and hope in its outcome. During the Vietnam War, General Stockdale, a Navy admiral, was taken as a prisoner of war, and from 1965 to 1973, for 8 years, he was held at Hanoi Hilton, a notorious camp for prisoner of war, for the only reason that he was a general. He was tortured over 20 times and had to live a life that was more like death in the camp every day. But He survived to the end, and after the war was freed and was reunited with his family. In the history of the U.S. Navy, he became the first three-star general to be given both aviator wings and the Congressional Medal of Honor. General Stockdale and his wife together published a biography titled In Love and War that chronicles in alternating chapters their lives during the 8 years that they were separated. Jim Collins, the guru of business management, mentions in his book Good to Great a deeply significant conversation he had with General Stockdale after reading the General's book. Jim Collins asked General Stockdale how he was able to overcome daily the situation of despair that was like death at the camp. The General Stockdale told him that no matter how painful, how death-like the life in the prison camp was, he never lost faith in the outcome of his life, and that one day he would be released from that deathly prison camp. And Jim Collins asked then, what kind of persons did not make it out of that deathly prison camp and ended their lives there? General Stockdale answered that they were optimists. That optimists were not able to survive to the end was an unexpected answer. What possible difference could there be in saying that somebody has hope and somebody is an optimist? At first thought, don't they seem to be saying the same thing? But General Stockdale further explained that the optimists that he was talking about were those who vaguely believed that they would be out maybe this coming Christmas. If Christmas went by and they couldn't get out, then they would think that maybe in Easter. And then when Easter passed, then the same for Thanksgiving. And when even Thanksgiving went by, then they would think maybe next Christmas and so forth. They would repeat this process until they died a broken heart. The saying of General Stockdale teaches us an important lesson. It is that whether one is optimistic about future or one is hopeful about the future, the substance of such hope could only be gained by confronting the current reality. And accepting it. The optimists that General Stockdale talked about, those optimists had not accepted the daily reality before them. In other words, they were persons who had failed to discipline themselves to accept, to overcome the daily, the harsh reality that confronted them. To those who didn't want to confront a given reality, Vague optimism was nothing more than a numbing drug that made them forget about reality. However, when reality did not change at all, contrary to their vague optimism, they collapsed under the weight of reality, having failed to discipline themselves to overcome the difficulties of reality. But on the other hand, in comparison to them, General Stockdale, who was a Christian, was a person of hope who believed in God of hope. So, he stoically confronted the brutal reality of the prison camp proactively and accepted the reality and adapted himself to the situation. The situation in front of him was the very stepping stone for the future that God had wished to give him.
지금 내 눈앞에 있는 이 현실을 이 현실의 징검다리를 향해 내 두 발을
He knew that he was not able to reach the fruit of hope without taking a step with his legs onto that stepping stone of current reality.
그래서 그는 죽음의 포로 수용소 속에서
And because of this in the prison camp He, by accepting and overcoming his reality, he at the end earned the actual outcome of his hope. Like General Stockdale, no matter how despairing the circumstances may look,
그 상황을 받아들이는 것과 그 결과에 대한
Therefore, like General Stockdale, it is not a contradiction to confront and accept a brutal reality while keeping the faith and hope about its outcome. In other words, Stockdale paradox is that more a person has hope about the outcome of a current situation, regardless of what the situation may be, such person must be better able to confront and accept such situation. This great principle, however, did not originate from General Stockdale merely 40 years ago. This is the very principle of God. Apostle Paul, who was a person of hope and who believed in the God of hope, encourages us as follows. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Now that we are saved, we eagerly look forward to this freedom. For if you already have something, you don't need to hope for it. Isn't it truly so? The thing that we now have, a thing that we can now see with our eyes, cannot be an object of hope. Something that can be an object of hope only if it's something that we do not now have and something that we cannot now see. In other words, the Christians are those who hope for things that are not seen rather than things that are seen. We do not hope for the reality that can be seen, but we look for the outcome that are not seen in the reality that is with us. If so, it seems only right that we should ignore the reality before us and focus only on the outcome that is not yet seen. That seems to be more beneficial. However, Paul encourages us to do the opposite in the following verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25. Now that we are saved, We eagerly look forward to this freedom, for if you already have something, you don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. Paul tells us that if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. But what does it mean to wait patiently? It is to not avoid reality or to look away from reality, but to accept it. To accept reality never means to compromise with it or to surrender to it. For a person of faith, to accept reality means to overcome and pass through reality so as to achieve the outcome of reality that one hopes for. Because the reality placed before us is the stepping stone to the future that we hope for. That is why Apostle Paul confesses as follows. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to endure, and endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. After today's text, Paul lived a life as a pathway through which God's love and life flowed into the world, and until he was beheaded at the end, his whole life was dotted with troubles. But not once did he try to avoid sufferings, but rather rejoiced in them, because he knew that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. It means that no matter what sufferings make up a given reality, if one perseveres in faith, accepts such suffering, then one's character is made stronger to be able to pass through such sufferings, so that at the end, one is able to obtain the outcome of hope. Therefore, Paul did not avoid even the reality in which he was to be executed by being beheaded. He willingly accepted that reality. The Roman Empire, who had put him to beheading, was made anew by Paul, who was executed. By accepting a given reality in faith, the Paul's hope to renew the world by accepting a given reality, even unto death by beheading, came to fruition in actual outcome in the history of men. But it was not due to his personal ability or capability, but due to the Lord who delivered him and who was present with him. Today is the third Sunday of the Advent, which commemorates the birth of Christ. The Lord came to this earth 2,000 years ago as the Lord of hope, who was to save mankind from sin and death. But in this world, the daily reality of the Lord was one of continuous suffering. He had to fight poverty from the destitute slum of Galilee to receive continuous attack and conspiracies by the leaders of Judaic faith, to be arrested due to the betrayal of his disciple Judas called Iscariot, to be denied and cursed no less than 3 times before his face by Peter, who was called his best disciple, at the house of the chief priest, and to be whipped by the Roman soldiers until his body was bloodied all over, and at the end had to die by being nailed to the cross. This was the everyday reality given to our Lord. But the Lord did not avoid or try to escape that painful reality. He did pray before the reality of death on the cross that he may be allowed to avoid that reality until blood seeped through his sweat. But at the end, he accepted the reality of the death on the cross. It was because there was faith and hope in our Lord. It was faith and hope that daily reality, full of suffering given to him, were stepping stones to eternal resurrection. Therefore, the Lord accepted the daily reality of suffering before him willingly. And by passing through such reality, he became the Lord of eternal resurrection. And not only that, but became the Lord of hope that fulfilled the hope of God to deliver all men from sin and death. The God of Trinity is our hope. The Lord, who came to this earth 2,000 years ago for us, is the Lord of hope. The gospel of the Lord is the gospel of hope. The cross of the Lord is the cross for hope. The salvation of the Lord is a salvation towards hope. Christians are those who believe in that Lord of hope and are people of hope. Christians are people who hope for things now unseen. Christians are the people who hope for the unseen outcome of the reality which are now seen. But it is never the case that Christians are optimists who avoid or escape reality. Christians are those who, because they are the people of hope, all the more confront the reality before them, no matter how bleak it may look, and accept that reality and pass through that reality. Because for Christians, all reality given to them is a stepping stone of grace that leads them to the substance of hope that God wishes to give. Beloved brothers and sisters, in what kind of reality are you in suffering? Lean on the Lord, who is in the midst of us at this hour. Let us come to resemble that Lord within the Lord. Let us not try to avoid the reality before us, but confront it. And thereby strengthen the character of faith that allows us to go through the reality. No matter what reality is given to us who believe in the Lord, there can never be despair for us. All reality given to us are the stepping stones to future of hope, because the Lord that we believe in is the Lord of hope, and we are the people of hope who have grafted ourselves to the hope that is in our Lord. Let us pray.
2000년 전
On this third Sunday of Advent, in which we commemorate the birth of the Lord who came for us to this earth 2,000 years ago, we thank you that you remind us that the Lord is the Lord of hope. We thank you that you have given us hope of salvation by the Lord, having paid price of our sins on the cross. We thank you that you rose again, breaking death apart, and thereby having given us hope in true life. We thank you that you have given us the gospel of hope, in which we are grafted onto the hope that is within you. We thank you that you are present in our midst as hope, at all places and at all times. We thank you that no matter what our reality may be, you have not allowed despair to end this despair for us. We thank you that no matter what suffering or hardship, they are within the Lord made into the stepping stones of graces towards hope. Help us not to commit the foolishness of avoiding or turning away from reality given to us, because that reality is painful. Rather, change our makeup so that we are able to overcome the reality by regarding it objectively, without wavering and accepting it. Allow us to hope for the outcome of reality that cannot be seen in midst of reality that can be seen. Allow us to come to resemble the Lord who has become the Lord of eternal resurrection by accepting the reality of death on the cross. Allow us the joy of gaining the substance of hope that is the outcome of reality by overcoming it by relying on the Lord. And so, may the praise of David, the weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, be all of our praise. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is our hope. Amen.